You're listening to Rocky Mountain Review on 90.5 FM at KCSU Fort Collins for Thursday, April 4th. I'm Lee Zimpel, your news director.
And I am Tyler Weatherwax, your assistant news director. We are the voices behind the Rocky Mountain Review news broadcast that airs every Tuesday and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m.
As always, we here at the Rocky Mountain Review strive to give you the most up-to-date, unbiased, and factual news. On today's show, the ASCSU election came to a wrap yesterday, and Tyler will go over the results and more in campus news.
And the Fort Collins City Council held an important meeting Tuesday to talk about some of the city's top concerns. Learn more with Lee in local news.
Then Fort Collins will be getting a little hotter, and I'm not talking about just the weather. Tyler will tell you about a new hot sauce place and more in life and events.
Later on in the broadcast, a Colorado bill aiming to reduce excessive force by police is in the works. Lee will go over that and more in national. With that, we'll get started with campus news. Hello, I'm Tyler Weatherwax, and this is your Colorado State University campus news. A president, vice president, and speaker of the House have all been voted for the Associated Students of Colorado State University, and the results were announced last night. The new speaker of the Senate for ASCSU will be Hayden Taylor, with a majority vote of 61.3%. And President Nick DeSalvo has been elected for ASCSU president for the 2024 to 2025 school year. Alongside DeSalvo is his running mate Braxton Dietz, who will serve as vice president. DeSalvo will now be serving two terms back-to-back as he was the ASCSU president for this current school year as well. This will be the first time an ASCSU president has served back-to-back terms since Mark Haney, who served two terms in 1988 and 1989. DeSalvo received 1,796 first-place votes, with his fellow candidates Georgia White receiving 936 votes and Claudia Paraiso receiving 610 votes. DeSalvo won with 53.7% of total votes. As for student turnout, ASCSU was hoping to see a higher student voter turnout this year for elections. However, only 11% of the CSU student body voted in this year's election. Coverage of this story comes from the Rocky Mountain Collegian. Colorado State University will be holding a special event on campus this summer that aims to help incoming Native American high school seniors. The Native American Education Forum will be from June 3rd to June 7th. The event will include real experience for the students inside of a university classroom, as well as receive help with applications and tuition. The students will also be able to learn more about the available career paths and majors that the university offers to its students. Students can also meet faculty and staff on campus and engage with current CSU Native students to become better familiar with the university. Last spring, CSU was involved in the process of transporting bisons to Colorado to help with sending those bisons to several Native American tribes. The bisons are extra special as they share lineage with bison in Yellowstone National Park. Now, a year later, Lakota tribal members are coming to Fort Collins to check up on the research and efforts that CSU has had with the reproduction of these bisons. As a part of the Buffalo Revitalization Program, the members of the tribe are traveling from Pine Ridge Reservation from South Dakota. Now, today, the tribal members are teaming up with the veterinarians to conduct their annual roundup, where bison are tagged and blood tested. That is it for today's CSU Campus News. Coming up now is Lee with your local news. Find out what the upcoming solar eclipse will look like in Fort Collins and more.
In local news, the Fort Collins City Council met Tuesday to talk about some important issues that locals have been keeping an eye on. This week, the council talked about how to address disruptions during meetings, school consolidation, and a resolution for a ceasefire in Gaza. Here's a look into what was said at this week's meeting. The City Council voted to have the power to move its meetings to another location or to meet online to deal with disruptions, including from the public. Council members were considering making changes to the public comments section of their meetings, but locals were concerned that would mean their voices would be discouraged or silenced. So instead of following through with those ideas, the council voted unanimously to allow a meeting's location to change if the council expects the public, weather, or emergencies to disrupt it. The decision comes after a meeting from last month was cut short because of disruptions from local protesters and activists. Then the council moved on to talk about the Poudre School District consolidation plans, which is an issue local parents and students have been keeping a close watch on. The PSD consolidations would end up closing some schools in the district in order to combine them into bigger ones. The school district says consolidation is part of the plan to address a decline in enrollment in PSD schools, but a recent look at enrollment data suggests the rates are not falling as quickly as PSD leaders thought. Instead, enrollment seems to be higher than expected. And now, as consolidation is still a possibility, parents are concerned about the impact of the school district's plans. At Tuesday's meeting, parents cited worries about neighborhood livability, social health, and climate. They say the consolidations would end up closing enough schools in Fort Collins to create a school desert. With fewer schools in the city, those school zones will see much more traffic, which would then also increase emissions in those areas. And it could mean a longer walk for some students if a school they attend closer to their home is shut down. Parents also say the consolidation's impact would unfairly target low-income families because the schools at risk of closing have a higher rate of students in low-income housing. With all of those concerns highlighted this week, council members say they want to be part of the conversation with the school districts and that they support looking for more ways to address PSD's enrollment concerns. The meeting then moved on to talk about what the council can do to work on a resolution for a ceasefire in Gaza. As part of the public comment session, about a dozen people brought up the question, saying the council could use its influence to push for changes at the federal level. They were saying if Fort Collins were to pass a resolution, it would set a record that locals do not agree with what the federal government is doing about the war. Contributions to this update comes from the Coloradoan. A private investigator was accused of sneaking drugs into the Weld County Jail in November, and her lawyers are saying she was unfairly targeted by prosecutors. The Weld County Sheriff's Office accused Laura Tellers of sneaking fentanyl and other drugs into the jail during visits with her clients. Her lawyer, Lee Christian, says Tellers was a longtime worker in criminal defense with decades of experience. He says character witnesses from peers and judges that she's worked with in the past would be able to confirm her work ethic. Her lawyers say the criminal charges Tellers now faces are unfairly based on stories from inmates, and they question the credibility of those stories. Lawyers also say Tellers was routinely screened by jail staff during her client visits and that the inmates she worked with were often strip searched and were not found to have any drugs on them. Tellers was also facing an accusation that she might have been in love with one of the inmates, but her lawyers say there was no proof of that or any other kind of gain. They say there's no proof Tellers was making a profit for the accusations, and they say it's a long shot to argue Tellers would bring in drugs for inmates for free. The story comes from CBS News. And lastly, you might have already heard, but there's going to be a solar eclipse this upcoming Monday on April 8th. The next eclipse won't be for another 20 years in the U.S., so there's been a lot of excitement about this one. Fort Collins might not be the best place to see the eclipse, though, and the weather might make it even harder to see because it might be cloudy. Still, if you're stuck in Fort Collins and want to see the eclipse as best as you can, it'll start around 11:30 in the morning, and it'll peak around 12:40 p.m. The eclipse will show about 63% of coverage if you see it from Fort Collins, so it'll be just a partial eclipse. If you want to try and see it in Fort Collins, the Northern Colorado Astronomical Society will have telescopes in the west parking lot of Fossil Creek Park starting at 11:30 a.m. on Monday, April 8th. It'll be a drop-in event, so there's no need to worry about securing a spot ahead of time. There will also be a solar telescope at the Sunlight Peak Observatory on the west side of the Front Range Community College campus near the library. That telescope will also be set up at 11:30 in the morning and will be open to the public on the 8th. Those are your local news updates. My name is Lee Zimpel. Coming up next, KCSU is throwing a punk rock festival today, and as of right now, during our live show, it's actually happening outside right now. Learn more about it after the break with Tyler.
FCSU thanks Fort Fun for their support. Located off Mulberry Road, Fort Fun is a lakeside amusement park with a large selection of attractions, including mini golf and go-karts. For more information, visit fortfun.biz.
Hello, I'm Tyler Weatherwax with your Fort Collins Life and Events section. We have a lot of music events coming up this weekend, so find out which one you'll want to go to. Today is the day for any fans of punk rock. You can check out KCSU's very own punk rock festival. Fool's Fest is happening right now. So if you are in the area of the Laurie Student Center right now, head over to the Sutherland Gardens. You'll want to hurry though, we only have about an hour left of the event. If Fort Collins isn't quite spicy enough for you then, you may be in luck. A new store has opened up here in Fort Collins in Old Town known as the Hot Sauce Realm. The Hot Sauce Realm features shelves stacked full of hot sauces. The store features over 250 types of hot sauce as well as vinyl and clothing. If you need a little hot sauce on your wings and some tunes to go along with that, this may be the place to find it. Coverage for this story comes from the Rocky Mountain Collegian. Tonight at the Aggie Theater, you can catch a globally known electronic dance music artist. Tonight at the Aggie Theater is Kyla Watson, along with Cherry Tooth. Watson grew up playing classical piano and then found a love for house music. Watson will be playing tonight at the Aggie starting at 8 p.m. If you want even more electronic dance music to dance to, then you are in luck. Tomorrow night will feature Latin Night. Latin Night blends a style of Latin music along with modern electronic dance music. Latin music will also be joined by several other guests, and the party starts at 9 p.m. at the Aggie Theater tomorrow night. Saturday night we'll see more music as you can catch ABBA Fab, who will be playing ABBA Classics. Both new ABBA fans and those more familiar with the band are welcome to attend the experience. The event starts at 7 p.m. located at Thompson Valley High School. And lastly, playing Saturday night is the indie folk band The National Parks. Coming originally from Utah, the band translates the wonder of national parks into their songs live on the stage. If you want a little indie folk in your night, you can catch The National Parks playing live at the Aggie Theater Saturday night at 8 p.m. That's all for your Life and Events segment. Tune in next week to hear more events for the week. Coming up is Lee with national news on a record-breaking heist that happened over the weekend in Los Angeles right after the break.
Alchemy speaking to you, dear listener. My show, The Witching Hour, is up next on KCSU. I've got a wide variety of topics lined up to talk about, including CSU sports and pop culture, so stay tuned.
Welcome back from the break. My name is Lee Zimpel, and here's what you need to know today for national news. A Colorado bill that is hoping to regulate a police physical restraint tactic moved forward in the State House Tuesday afternoon. The bill is targeting a move called the prone restraint. It's a move officers use to physically control a person by placing them face down on their stomach and keeping their arms behind their back while officers handcuff them. Police say it's an important move to control a situation because it's an effective way to keep someone from resisting arrest. The move is often used in situations where a person is acting violently or has a weapon on them. The bill in question now aims to define prone restraint as excessive force if the technique is not used correctly. The prone restraint move is controversial because it's the position that George Floyd was in when he died in 2020, struggling to breathe. The technique has also been linked to at least 130 deaths, including the death of Elijah McClain in Colorado in 2019. Some police in Colorado were concerned that the prone restraint could be banned altogether throughout the state, but this bill aims for middle ground. Police say the move is crucial in handling violent interactions, so it's an important tool officers would mostly prefer to keep. So if the bill passes, it would just make it so that it's not allowed to leave a person in the face-down position for too long. The bill says if the person ends up not being able to breathe, it could cause some serious harm and could classify the move as excessive force. The bill passed through the Colorado House Judiciary Committee this week, and now it's headed to the Appropriations Committee. Information for this story comes from Denver 7 and 9 News. On Easter Sunday, a money storage facility in Los Angeles was broken into, and thieves got away with $30 million in cash. Detectives are now saying that the cash heist is one of the biggest on record in the city. Police Commander Elaine Morales says the thieves were able to crack open the safe from a global cash security company called Garda World. She says the breach went unnoticed until building operators opened the vault the next day. As of now, the company has not yet made comments on the heist. Today, the LAPD says the theft is being investigated with the FBI. Aerial footage of the building from a local news station showed there was a large cutout on the side of it, and it looked to be boarded up with a piece of plywood. So far, the thieves have not been caught, and the last time a heist of this size was pulled off, it was about 2 years ago at a Southern California truck stop. About $100 million in jewels and other valuables were stolen from a big rig, and those thieves have yet to have been caught either. That'll be it for your national news for now. We'll take a break, and when we come back, Caleb Allen will deliver the week's CSU sports report, and then we'll go over the weekend weather forecast after that. We'll be right back.
KCSU has a website that hosts all of our podcasts, articles, and videos.
Any volunteers who want to write about anything.
That can include sports, music, pop culture.
Or anything else. You can reach out to the web department for ideas or support, and your content just might show up on KCSUFM.com.
To get started, email us at web@KCSUFM.com. Now, back to music on 90.5 KCSU Fort Collins.
Hi, I'm Caleb Allen, sports director at KCSU. Here's what's going on this week in sports. CSU track and field is coming off an impressive home performance in the Jack Christensen Invitational over the weekend. On the women's side of things, Nia Jamison won the 100-meter hurdles and placed second in the 400 with a time of 59.38, which ranks sixth best for the school. Quinn McConnell also picked up a win for the Rams with her performance in the 1500-meter event. On the men's side, Benny Randall won the 5000 event, while Jack Wetterling and Tyler Caldwell picked up wins in their respective events. This week, the Rams are split again, with some of the team competing in the first day of the Wichita State Multi on Wednesday. Elijah Scott and Mauricio Galindo Vega both had multiple top five finish on the afternoon. They will continue competing in the Wichita State Invite in the coming days as well. Other team members will be competing in the Colorado Invitational this weekend in Boulder, with events starting as early as Friday. CSU tennis lost both of its matches last weekend when they took on Nevada in a 4-1 loss on Friday, and another 4-1 loss to Pacific in a midseason non-conference matchup on Saturday. Sarah Weekly and Sharko Richterover were the only Rams to earn a point with their wins in their single matches over the weekend. The Rams now return home this weekend for a pair of matches. The first will be a meeting with San Jose State on Friday at 11 a.m., while Fresno State will be the opponent on Sunday. CSU softball lost all three games with San Diego State last weekend on the road to extend their losing streak to 7. The losing streak comes on the heels of what was an 11-game winning streak through the latter part of the non-conference schedule. The offense struggled to find rhythm in the first and third matchups with the Aztecs, scoring just one run in those two contests. The Rams return home this week as they host New Mexico for a two-game series on Saturday and Sunday. Both of those games will be broadcasted right here at KCSU. Saturday's matchup is set for a 1 p.m. first pitch and can be heard right here on 90.5 KCSU. While Sunday's contest can be heard on our official YouTube page. First pitch set for 12 p.m. CSU Women's Golf is coming off their win in the Fresno State Classic last week. Andrea Berger's daughter won her third Player of the Week honor from the Mountain West Conference after recording her second individual win on the season in Fresno. The team is back in action starting Sunday in the Chattanooga Classic. Be sure to tune into Ramblers tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. as Austin Martin and I break down everything you need to know about Colorado State sports. I'm Caleb Allen. This is what's going on this week in sports.
This weekend has some conflicting conditions. We could be in the market for snow, but at the same time, we'll be under a red flag warning for fire danger. Here's what you can expect these next couple of days. It'll be important to keep an eye out on conditions, especially when we reach Monday, if the solar eclipse is something that'll be important for you. Tonight, we'll see a mostly cloudy sky with a low around 42 degrees. Winds will be pretty gentle and scattered overall, but we could feel an occasional semi-strong breeze. Friday will begin mostly cloudy, but as the day moves forward, it should clear up completely. The high will sit at about 73 degrees, and it'll be breezy in the morning. As the wind picks up and temperatures rise, we'll enter a red flag warning for fire danger. At the windiest, the gusts could blow as high as 37 miles an hour. The warning will last until about 9 p.m. of Friday night. Then after midnight, we'll see a 40% chance of showers. The low will be around 38 degrees, and it'll still be windy, but the moisture coming in will help ease that red flag warning. Saturday, we'll have some rain showers early in the morning until about 8 a.m. After that, it could develop into snow showers, and some thunder is also possible. We'll have a high of 49, and it'll be incredibly windy. As the day moves forward, it'll keep getting windier. In the afternoon, we could see winds moving at nearly 40 miles an hour, and it'll increase even more after that to as high as 60 miles an hour. Saturday night will stay very windy, and we'll see a 40% chance of some more snow showers. Temperatures will ride a low of 36, but the wind will likely make it feel colder. Moving into Sunday, we'll see a small chance for snow showers and still up until around 1 p.m. Then, as it warms up to a high of 52, it'll turn into a slight chance of rain showers. Sunday will also be windy, but it won't be as intense as Saturday. Sunday night will be mostly cloudy and blustery with a low of 31. Monday, during the eclipse, we'll see a chance of showers near the afternoon. It doesn't look like the sky will be too cloudy, but it'll still be only partly sunny with a high of 53. It's a little hard to tell how that'll affect the visibility of the eclipse, so if the view is important to you, you can keep that in mind if you're watching from Fort Collins. The information for this forecast comes from the National Weather Service, and despite all the wind and the fire warning, I hope you have a great weekend.
And that is all for today. We would like to thank Damian Castile for our amazing theme music. We'd also like to thank the rest of our staff here at KCSU and Rocky Mountain Student Media. We couldn't do this without you.
Finally, we couldn't do this without you, dear listener, so thank you. If you missed any part of today's show, you can find the RMR podcast on kcsufm.com under the news or podcast section. You can also find us on Spotify or anywhere else you listen to your podcasts by searching KCSU News. And with that, we'll see you next time.